This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
On iRadio's group chat today, we're digging into a debate that's been lighting up social media. Of course, it's housing related. Ray Cook, who's CEO of Ray Cook Auctioneers Limited, has said that rising rents and house prices aren't the only reason 18 to 34 year olds are stuck living with their parents. He argues that longer years in college, low paying career choices, extended travel and lifestyle decisions all play a role, and that landlords often get an unfair share of the blame online. So is this a hard truth that we don't want to hear, or is it another case of generation being misunderstood? Well, Ray Cook joins me now to unpack it all. Ray, you've said that the housing crisis isn't the only reason so many 18 to 34 year olds are still living at home. What do you think the main reasons are?
I think there's not one factor here. I think there are several factors that have to come into play. I think everyone is going into college nowadays and they're doing courses, even though they're not getting jobs when they come out of them. I think also they're staying in school probably a little bit longer as well. They're coming out, a lot of them are coming out at 19, 19 and a half now, whereas in a couple of years ago it would have been 17 and a half, 18 coming out. They're starting school later, they're doing transition year now, and anyone that I ask why are they doing transition year, for argument's sake, oh, they need a break after the junior cert. I don't think that's setting up the young generation now to real life, to be honest. I think they'd be better off doing a year in a course or going into college earlier. They learn more that way. But also then as well, when they do spend 14 years in school, they're 19 and a half coming out, and then they go off and do another 4-year degree somewhere, they're around 23 and a half, 24 coming out of college. Obviously I did it, and I don't know if you did it as well, but a lot of people then want to go traveling, and are on average they're gone for 2 years, so all of a sudden they're 26, maybe 26 and a half, 27, and they're coming back, and then they realize, hold on, I have to start my career here. And they're 27 starting their career, and they're only starting to earn proper money probably after 30. Because like anyone, when you start in any job, you're the new person coming in, or you're the junior or whatever, you're starting probably off in lower wages, you know, and it's something there that I think is a big culprit. Whereas in, if you look at over the years, a lot of people, especially in Ireland, have gone off and they have started doing apprenticeships, or whether that's through a trade or other different jobs, you know, and they've worked their way up and they're earning money from 18. And then as soon as they're 4 years out of after doing their apprenticeship, they're on big books.
Let's unpack some of the reasons that you mentioned there. I want to start first of all with the spending longer in college argument. It definitely is a thing that people are spending 4 or 5 years in higher education nowadays. A lot of people do that. But at the same time, though, many graduates, even like myself, would say that you're told nearly that a degree is the safest route to stability, and that you nearly can't get a job anymore without doing like a 4-year course in something. Do you think that that's more of a problem with the system, perhaps, rather than the generation as a whole?
I think it's obviously, let's go back and why are most people going into third level now? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. Obviously, if you're a solicitor or you're an accountant or you're a doctor or in the sciences, like I said, obviously that is the route to go. But for the other 50% of people, they're going in and they're doing kind of Mickey Mouse degrees. When they come out after 4 years, they don't have a job to walk into. So what's the point of doing that course if you're not going to walk into a job? And that, I suppose that was what my argument was. And a lot of these courses now weren't around 25 years ago. Now you might say, oh, life has changed and digital media and stuff like that. But I'll give you an example, right? So my company, we were hiring for someone in our marketing team who was obviously marketing and social media and stuff like that. We interviewed a lot of people, but three of these particular people came in. They had a degree in marketing and social media or digital marketing or whatever the term is, but they had a degree in it. And then when we got speaking to them, we asked them, could you edit? video, never did that in college. Could you, obviously, in relation to the SEO and the Google stuff, hadn't a clue, had never did anything like that there as well. And there's loads of other things there that they're not doing. So we didn't hire them. We ended up hiring someone that doesn't have any degree at all, but has worked with other companies, like I said, and has probably trained herself up. And now she's starting with us in a couple of weeks' time, you know? So because she has the experience and she has, I suppose she has her feet on the ground and she knows what to do. She knows how to do a monetized lead campaign, you know, and targeted ad campaigns where people coming out of college don't know how to do that. And this is a prime example. Like, you know, there's loads of other art degrees and other bits and pieces. What do they get out of that after four years?
If I, you know, just to pick up on that argument there, like, I would have done an arts degree with journalism, went on and mastered in journalism. And although I was very aware going into a course like that, a lot of my friends as well who would have done arts or anything like that, that the jobs weren't necessarily plentiful. I did obviously work very hard and I've made it thus far. I wouldn't consider my degree a Mickey Mouse degree by any capacity or stretch of the imagination. I can understand the argument you're making that, you know, you don't always need to have your 4 years in college to be very talented at something. I'm sure that girl that you've hired is extremely talented and will probably be very successful. But at the same time, though, it is, I would consider, more of an anomaly to be hired when you haven't got a degree in that field than not.
Okay, but if you look at your class, sorry for cutting across you now, but if you look at your class, I don't know how many was in your class, how many of them are working in journalism now?
Well, in my master's, I know that a good third of us are exploring journalism directly, and then some people have continued with more of a communications field and gone into things that are linked in social media. So it's not necessarily, I'm not trying to make an argument particularly about myself. I think
I know that, but I'm just using that as an example, right? Because again, you touched on it there as well. Obviously, look, podcasting now and what everything else there, like I said, it's a huge window for a lot of people there, you know. It's only going to suit a certain person as well, okay? So you hit the nail on the head there as well. You kind of knew there was obviously only limited spaces, and that's the same with accountancy. That's the same with whether you're going into the legal side or you're going into certain jobs again in pharmaceutical or whatever like that. There's only a certain amount of jobs there. But I'm not necessarily even talking about that. I'm just talking about in general. What is the point of going off and doing a 4-year course and not knowing that you're going to get a job out of it at the end?
I would think that actually plays into the bigger argument of looking at the cost of living crisis and the economy crisis that we're in. It's not necessarily my fault or anyone else's fault that there's no jobs in our field. The job shortage in this country, it shouldn't be a reason to stifle your ambition. And choosing third level education is something that is, in fairness, it is highly tested and trialed, and it's very well recommended to people like that. But if we move away from that argument altogether, you know, I know you've mentioned travel and lifestyle choices as a factor in all of this. Some would argue travel is not only a way to fulfill your dreams and ambitions of seeing the world, but it's also because people can't afford necessarily to settle down, and they're trying to do as much travelling as much as they can before they really have to stick to the grind of saving. How do you separate cause from effect there?
But is that, again, like I said, everything that I said then is true then. They're going to college, they're not getting a job, they're then not working in their field when they go to Australia or Canada or wherever they're going to go then as well. So they're not starting their careers until 27, 28. So this is the problem, because then the whole thing that News Talk said there, it was, 30-year-olds are still living at home. And this is the reason. They haven't. Whereas if you had an apprenticeship and you were working from 18 or 19, you're earning money from your 18 or 19, you can save for a deposit. And as soon as you're qualified, then you can go off and get a mortgage at 23, 24, 25. Obviously, you have to sacrifice and you have to save that money and get that deposit up. But these are the choices that people make, you know. Then they have a qualification. They can obviously go off and go traveling for a year or two after that and rent that house out if they want. But they have a qualification that they can go to Australia and be an electrician. They can go, I'm not even saying about the trades. It could be any type of apprenticeship, you know. So even on our game now, there's apprenticeships, whereas before before you had to go off and, you know, do the 4-year degree. Now all of a sudden, it's only in the last couple of years as apprenticeships now, like, you know. So in every kind of industry there is apprenticeships. Like, you could go off and work for Lidl and work your way up from, you could start on the tills or stacking shelves, and then 4 or 5 years later you could be a store manager on 70,000 or 80,000 euros if you worked hard and obviously built your way up. And this is what my attitude is, where people are turning around saying, oh, I can't get a job and it's the government's fault and it's everyone else's fault. It's not. Like, and not to be, again, going back to you guys or your course or other people, you make the choice of what industry you go into, and then if it doesn't work out, you then have to go back and reverse and go back and get work somewhere else or better your life. You can't just then just say, oh well, look, I'm only on 35,000 or I'm only on 60,000 and that's what I'm going to be on for the rest of my life. And I know it sounds a bit tough, but that's what I'm just trying to say. Like, as in, you make your own choices. There's nothing wrong with going traveling, but if you keep kicking your can down the road, like I said, what's going to happen then is you have to work really hard in your 30s and 40s and 50s, and then you're still paying off a mortgage in your 60s, instead of work hard in your 20s and 30s and then live in your 40s and 50s. So there's just a choice to make, I suppose, that people have to make.
Critics would say that comments like yours, though, are downplaying those structural issues that we have that are the core issue to all of this. It's not about whether you follow your ambition and pick a course that you want to do in the arts. You know, rent inflation, house prices, lack of supply. Do you accept that those are still very central to this problem, though?
Yeah. Of course. But are you saying that there's not properties out there to buy? There is properties out there to buy. But the problem is as well that younger people now, and this, I suppose, isn't your fault. If you look at, again, over the last 10, 15 years, since they came out of the recession, property prices are really rock bottom prices. You could buy, as we always said, your mom and dad's house was your first buy, you know, which is the 4-bed semi or the 4-bed detached property, because prices were so low. But then all of a sudden, since 2000 and COVID happened, prices just exploded up, and now all of a sudden it's gone back to the old way where you have to buy your 1-bed or 2-bed apartment, live there for 2 or 3 years, move up to your 3-bed house, move up to your 4-bed house maybe over 15 years. And again, people don't want that because they want to buy the 4-bed house straight away, and they keep kind of going, oh well, the average price in Ireland is 400 or 500,000. No first time buyer, very few first time buyers, sorry, are buying properties at 500,000. They're buying properties at 250, 275, and they have to put down a deposit of 25,000. And my argument is, the people that keep giving out and saying, oh, how can we do this? And then you ask them, well, how much have you saved? And they're turning around saying, oh, well, I've like 2,000 euros, 3,000 euros. And you're kind of going, you're 27, 28 years of age. How have you not saved more than that in the last 4 years of coming out of college?
I'm sure, though, many people, not even just speaking on behalf of anyone, but even myself, like, the cost of living crisis has been astronomical. It is crazy to even be trying renting rooms nowadays. I would think it's not as simple as that, because if it was as straightforward as you've presented it there, that people just, how have you not saved enough money, we probably would have solved this crisis a lot quicker. But I know
people aren't willing to commit to savings and sacrifice. And again, I sound very old.
Yeah, how would you go about sacrificing when you're talking about just having enough money to put food on your table and pay your bills?
I suppose it depends, I suppose, what you're talking about. Like, as in, so if you're talking about rent and you're talking about renting your room now, so the average room rental is around 900 euros. Okay, mm-hmm. So the 900 euros minimum wage now for an adult, like I said, is, I think, is it 28 or 30,000 euros a year? So that means they're on over 2,000 euros a month take home. So that means, let's just say they're only on 2,000 euros, that's 24 grand, okay? So they're on an extra 1,100 euros a month to live on for that month.
And if it was you spending the 1,100 euro, how would you spend it as a 25-year-old?
I was that... Like I said, 22, 23-year-old. I was always in the habit of saving 25 to 30% of my wages. As soon as the wages come in, it was gone out of the account. 25 to 30% was always gone, and every year that I earned more money, I still lived off the 24 grand or 25 grand. So if I was on 30,000, I still lived like I was on 24 grand, and I saved that money, and then I was able to go off and buy properties. So I was able to save up. You still had to, back in the, like, I'm 45 now. So when I bought my first property would have been 2003. So like I said, and I still had to come up with whatever it was, just under 25,000 when I came back from Australia to get it. I bought it within the year of coming back from Australia. So I saved that money within the year. Now, I bought it with a partner, so it was both of us bought it and saved it. But I would have done the majority. So
I'm sure I'm sure that there will be people listening, and I know that you know this yourself, who would be very angered by your point of view on this. I'm sure it's clear that I wouldn't necessarily agree with most of what you're saying, but I wanted to touch on what you said about landlords getting an especially hard time on social media. Why do you think that they've become such a lightning rod for anger for people?
I wouldn't say they've started, they've always, especially coming out of the Celtic Tiger years. I think anyone there that had created wealth or, you know, lost properties or was in debt, I think there was a whole thing about anyone who was being successful. I think it's an Irish thing that if you're anyway successful at all, people want to knock you down. So I think if you can go off and get an investment property down the line, you know, doesn't mean there that you're Dennis O'Brien and you're a billionaire. You could be just a normal estate agent or radio presenter or podcaster or whatever you're going to be, a nurse, a doctor, or whatever it is going to be. So it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're trailer trash, you know, because you own a rental property. And not every landlord is a bad landlord. Like we're one of the biggest letting agents in the country. We probably are the biggest letting agent in the country. And our landlords are brilliant landlords. So some of our landlords that haven't raised the rents in 10 years. Now, there is a lot of them that have, but which they're entitled to do. But like I said, but there's a lot of our landlords don't. Like they have... Like I said, if anything ever goes wrong, we have stuff fixed in these properties, you know, for these landlords. So I don't know why, well, I do know why landlords, it's just the media and politicians want to jump on the back of and blame landlords for everything. Landlords are the devil.
I would dispute that it would be that people would be making out that they're the devil without cause. I think that you're definitely correct in saying that not all landlords are bad landlords. Even I know myself, I have a landlord at the minute and that they're amazing, 100%. But there has been a lot of controversy about rising rents and things like that. But before I let you go, what is one change from the government, from employers or young people themselves that you think would make the biggest difference in all of this?
I think it's gone too much, and this is maybe the parents' fault of children. I'm a parent as well, and the reason I'm saying this as well, right, is like I'm heavily involved in my GA clubs, and I see young people there. I'm obviously employing a lot of young people. I have my own nephews and nieces in and around that age now, you know, coming out of secondary school up to 22, 23, and all of their friends, and I see my own kids' teams and stuff like that there as well. And maybe it is the parents that were too in control, and we're trying to push them into, you're too good for that, this is the type of way you should go. But like in the end of the day, it's about what do most people want, and we're just talking about average person, average Joe. So what they want is a roof above their heads, okay? And it's either you're waiting for it to be handed to you, or you have to go out and get it yourself, okay, and not rely on anyone else to do it. And if you're going to rely on other people, then you have to kind of take control over your career, and you're going to have to take control over how you get there. And what I mean by that is by making sacrifices to save that deposit, to or working a certain job that you know in 2 years' time, you're going to be earning 20% more. I want young people to obviously not just buy houses, just to own their own homes. You know, and not to be renting, like they're in this trap of renting, and it's a disaster for them. And I honestly, like, I see it every day. I've thousands of people contacting our office every single day looking for a rental property, and we can't give one to them because we don't have one, and it's a disaster.
Well, Ray, I appreciate you sharing your point of view with me this evening on iRadio's group chat. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.